Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have a special program in store for you today, and it's all about hypothyroidism and thyroid problems and how conventional therapy isn't really cutting it when it comes to dealing with the thyroid. And we've invited an expert. She's a colleague of mine here in New York City. She's a clinician in private practice, and she is board certified in internal medicine. She's a former program director for the American College for Advancement in Medicine. She is Dana Cohen. Dr. Cohen, welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Please call me Ron. I'll call you Dana because we've worked together for many years, and you're a good friend. So,
yes, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So why don't you frame the issue for us? Hypothyroidism, what is it? Why is it so pervasive?
Okay, well, as I think everybody knows, thyroid is a gland in our body, in our neck actually, that produces some hormones, and it's responsible really basically for all of our metabolism. What I'm finding is, and what everybody's finding, is that it's rampant. People who are not producing enough thyroid hormone or are hypothyroid it's just rampant. Everybody you speak to knows somebody with hypothyroidism, and it's a real problem. And many doctors are not recognizing it and treating it properly.
So how pervasive would you say it is? Say, for example, what are the statistics or what's been your experience in your practice?
Well, it's hard to say. My practice is skewed because it's really geared towards, one person tells another. So most people that come into my practice are there because they think they have a thyroid problem, and probably 90% of them do have a thyroid problem.
Okay.
Regardless, and they've seen every endocrinologist known to man, and they say, listen, I've done my reading. I know there's something wrong with my thyroid. And most of the time, there's something wrong with their thyroid.
So let's look at the difference between the current endocrine guidelines via conventional medicine versus a more complementary approach to hypothyroidism.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting. I don't know. You may know a little bit better than me. At what point a couple of years ago? So the standard test is a TSH. It's a thyroid stimulating hormone. It's a blood test that most doctors test to screen for hypothyroidism. I think I'm going to say 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less. The numbers that were considered normal were unbelievably high. And they've recently.
So this is a test where if it's high, your thyroid is low. It's called a reflex test where it's kind of like the opposite of the way your thyroid is. So
yep. Exactly. So a TSH used to be what was considered normal so many years ago. I'm not sure how many, 10 years ago, let's say. They would say a TSH of 8 is considered normal. Now the norm is less than 4. 4 point something, maybe 5 point something. Those are numbers that doctors look at. What's normal and what's optimal and what's actually effective is are two very different things. Regular, just going back to your question, regular doctors look at blood levels for thyroid. What alternative doctors or holistic doctors is what you ask for, what we look for, there's other things. The most important thing is to take into account a history from a patient. What are they complaining of and what has been ruled out? If there are signs and symptoms of hypothyroid, which we can go through, obviously fatigue, dry skin, inability to tolerate the cold, constipation, depression, joint pain. Am I missing any?
Well, in a woman, are there any particular symptoms that you might see, say, in a younger woman of hypothyroidism?
You could actually have period irregularities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Even PMS.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think there was one study where they gave a bunch of women who had what seemed like normal thyroid function. They all were normal thyroid. And just for the heck of it, they gave them a little bit of thyroid medication. And that was an interesting study because even though they, quote, did not need thyroid,
yeah,
they responded. Their PMS got better, and they didn't have any adverse effects. So just giving them thyroid seemed to, you know, that was a study that they did a while back. I guess they forgot about that study.
Well, you know, it's and it brings me to, you know, I think about, we also check antibodies to thyroid. So people who have thyroid antibodies, probably a large proportion of people who are hypothyroid have Hashimoto's disease, which is basically an autoimmune disease where they have their body produces antibodies to their thyroid. And so a lot of doctors will test for that and find that patients have abnormal antibodies but have a normal thyroid. So instead of, you know, and then they'll send them on their way. They'll say your thyroid's normal. Now, not everybody who has an antibody to thyroid has an abnormal thyroid, but if you have symptoms and, you know, and you've ruled out everything else, why not try a little bit of thyroid? As long as you're keeping those numbers in range and you're not overdosing them, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it changes people's lives. I've seen it, and I know you have too, when we work together. I've seen it over and over again. Sometimes a little bit of thyroid and the light bulb goes off. Patients just feel everything improves. You know, fatigue and constipation, and their periods become regular, and their PMS goes away, and their energy starts to skyrocket, and they can get through the day, and their joint pain goes away. So, you know, speaking of on that, of just giving a little bit of thyroid sometimes, as long as you're monitoring patients, I don't think it's such a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to say that among the things that I've done, you know, over my long career in non-traditional medicine, in complementary medicine, one of the biggest departures that I made from conventional approaches is to treat patients just the way you do, obviously looking at symptoms rather than just looking at the numbers. And I have to say it's been one of the most gratifying things that I've done in my medical career is to look at the numbers. Yeah, okay, the numbers make sense. But if symptoms loom, and it makes sense to undertake a safe trial of a little bit of thyroid medication, it has literally transformed the lives of so many patients, and I know you've seen that many times.
Absolutely. You know, I have a really quick story.
Sure. Yeah. We love anecdotes. Yeah.
I have a patient who has panhypopituitarism. She has no pituitary gland. And she's not my typical patient. I'm not an endocrinologist.
But so that means she doesn't have any kind of hormones going on. She has no adrenal hormones. She has no sex hormones. She has no thyroid. All that stuff is knocked out, right?
Yeah, and she is not my typical patient. She's actually very complicated. She absolutely needs to be under the care of an endocrinologist. She had surgery. She had a tumor in her pituitary gland. So she came to see me because she wanted to be put on bioidentical hormones. She insisted, for whatever her reasons were, she wanted to be put on bioidentical estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. She wanted to be put on a desiccated thyroid, which we'll talk about the differences, mm-hmm. and some other things. And she insisted upon it. And this girl had been through a lot, and she said, "What's the harm in trying?" And I said, "As long as you're under the care of the endocrinologist, I'm happy to at least do the sex hormones, you know, and maybe some natural thyroid on you." And so when we were done, I had to call her endocrinologist, and I was dreading this phone call. He is a standard.
You thought he would chew you out.
I thought he was going to be like, "What are you doing?" Yeah, exactly. I was so nervous to call this doctor, and it turns out she said he's wonderful. It turns out, I think she told me he's well into his late 70s. He's an old time doctor. So I called him and I told him the whole story, and he was very familiar with desiccated thyroid. He knew this patient very well. And so in my explaining to him, I'm over explaining everything, and I'm saying about wanting to start her on thyroid, and I use a lot of natural thyroid. And he stopped me and he said to me, I'll never forget. He said, "You know, it's funny. We used to check for thyroid dosing by checking pulses."
Wow.
And it was, it was eye-opening to me. I was like, here's a doctor. Like, what happened to that? We forgot about that.
And now we're overcome with technology. We have all these fancy schmancy tests. But back in the old days, they paid attention to the patient's subjective response to medication.
Exactly.
So, well, that's very interesting. So recently, there was a landmark study. I believe it was in the journal Thyroid, if I'm not mistaken. That's an indication of how specialized that journal is. And the journal looked at the difference in people's satisfaction when they got synthetic thyroid versus natural thyroid. And there was actually a resounding vindication of the natural thyroid approach. So could you tell us, are you familiar with that study? Could you tell us a little bit about the difference between the quote synthetic versus natural?
Yes. So actually, I think it was in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, which is an even more prestigious journal for endocrinologists. So-called natural thyroid is basically a combination of T4, T3, typically derived from porcine or pigs. Excuse me. So let me just take a step back. Our thyroid gland makes two hormones, T3 and T4. T4 typically has to get converted to T3, and T3 is the active form of thyroid in our body. So the most widely prescribed medication for hypothyroidism is something called Synthroid or levothyroxine, and basically it's synthetic T4. So once again, your body has to take that in, convert it to T3 in order for it to be the active form of hormone. In my practice, I use a combination of all of the above. There's no rhyme or reason. There is rhyme or reason. I shouldn't say that, but
In other words, what I think what you're saying is that you're not biased in favor of, oh, it's natural, so that's going to be it for all my patients because I'm like, Dr. Granola here because it's a natural approach. You'll actually use synthetic thyroid where you think it's appropriate or where a patient may respond better. And I have to say there's some patients where, frankly, the synthetic thyroid does the trick and works fine and, even better and easier sometimes to dose than the natural.
Exactly. And the same goes, I'll have somebody on a synthetic thyroid and they do their reading and they're like, you know what, I want to just try it. And I get a little like, all right.
Yeah, why rock the boat here?
Right, why rock the boat? I let them try it and sometimes they feel better. For just doing that, I can't tell you why, but sometimes they do better on synthetic thyroid. Sometimes they do better on this natural desiccated thyroid. So basically this study, all it said is about half of the patients felt better on this desiccated thyroid. Not necessarily, resulted in any significant improvement in their quality of life, but they felt better. I'm not sure. That's when we talk to patients. I always say the bottom line is my job is to get you feeling terrific.
Mm-hmm. In a safe way, obviously.
In a safe way. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second.
Let's talk about the safety issues because I think one of the concerns that conventional doctors will bring up. Patients sometimes hear this. They'll say, "Well, that natural thyroid, it's unsafe." Is it unsafe or, do they have a point or, do you have to monitor it? Or what's going on there?
Well, first of all, I've never heard anybody say a doctor say it's unsafe.
I have. Yeah. Patients have been told, you don't want to do that. And also what they will also say is it's old fashioned. Like, why would you want to do that? That's what they did in the old days. Now, with progress, we have this, new, improved, better synthetic form of thyroid.
Yeah. I also hear that it's not, where you don't get proper, exact levels. It's not consistent in the dosing.
It'd be harder. It's harder. Right. It's not standardized that the manufacturing is like, fly by night or something like that. That's
right.
One argument.
Right. Well, like any thyroid medicine, the bottom line is you do have to monitor it. You have to monitor it with blood levels, with symptoms, talking to the patient, seeing the patient. So as regular thyroid medicine, if you give too much, it's unsafe.
What can be some of the problems associated with that?
Well, so if you can make people's blood pressure rise, their pulse raise. If you give too much medicine, they could go into to have. I mean, the biggest thing is blood pressure problems. And being anxious, feeling, I always say to a patient, if I start you on this and you feel like you drank a pot of coffee, stop it and call me. Don't start until we speak again. You know, so those are the big things. We're not talking massive dosing where you're going to go into a thyroid storm. I've never quite frankly seen that. I want to just take a step back too and talk about, I think one of the big issues with alternative doctors is that they do tend to overdose patients.
Right. And I've seen that. I've actually had to cut back on some patients because they get overzealous. They think a little is good, a lot is better. And, you know, we have patients on like 3, 4, 5 grains of Armour thyroid. That would be like, 300 milligrams or something. That's quite a lot. That's a really high dose.
Yeah.
Usually get by with 60, 90, 120 maybe at most.
Yeah, I start people on tiny doses too, 15 milligrams.
15, 30.
And I have to tell you, more often than not, once again, patients are like, whoa, the light bulb went off. I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. My energy is so much better. I'm not, I get through the day at work. And then you go from there. I tend to start off slower and work my way up as opposed to starting off, bigger doses and seeing if I think people feel better. I just also want to say, have just a little quick note about that it's important when you look at thyroid to also sort of, and I feel strongly about this, to look at other hormones like adrenal hormones.
Mm-hmm.
If you have somebody who's pretty stressed out and maybe has some adrenal issues, and you give them thyroid on an already sort of stressed out adrenal system, they're not going to feel good. So it's something important to think about when you're treating thyroid, especially for patients to think about also. And maybe some adrenal adaptogenic herbs you can look at. There's lots of different things, a whole nother subject, but important to think about because there's no one. If one hormone's off, you gotta look at other things. You gotta look at blood sugar. You gotta look at sex hormones. You gotta look at them all. It's important.
And one other thing you might point out is that one of the consequences of being on too much thyroid is to your bones, right?
Oh yeah, leaching calcium from your bones.
You can get. And I actually have seen some patients who've had not necessarily too much thyroid medication. Actually, I think I saw one patient who'd been on too much thyroid medication for too long, had osteoporosis. Was a male, which is a little unusual. And then some patients who have the opposite disease, not hypothyroidism, but Graves' disease, which is a hyperthyroid condition. We're not talking about that so much today, but that's proof positive that too much thyroid hormone can actually promote osteoporosis.
Right, and a completely different entity than hypothyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to just have a quick word about autoimmune disease in general.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking about, when you speak about looking at the thyroid and looking at the body as a whole from a holistic standpoint, you got to look to the gut with people who have hypothyroid and maybe don't have antibodies. There's about 10% of those people who have normal blood levels of thyroid, maybe have a low T3, and maybe are not absorbing proteins as well or something. You always sort of look to the gut. And maybe look for. I'm assuming that your listeners know what a leaky gut is. From a holistic standpoint, we always sort of look to the gut also because there's a possibility, and I've seen this a lot, that patients will come in absolutely convinced they want to start thyroid hormone, and they do have a little bit of a hypothyroid, what I would consider hyperthyroid. Before I start them on hormones, I may want to do some other treatments. Look at iodine, look at their gut, look at maybe some other factors like tyrosine and selenium. There are possibilities that maybe they don't need thyroid, maybe they need some cofactors.
Well, so that's interesting, and this is something that is often maintained by chiropractors and some naturopaths who don't have a medical prescription pad. They can't tell you to go to the drugstore and pick up regular thyroid, so they favor supporting the thyroid, quote, providing the building blocks for thyroid hormone. And how often do you think that's successful? Do you think that that is a realistic proposition, or are they deluding themselves?
I think, I don't know how often, because once again, it's hard to know. I think it is a possibility. I think that if somebody comes in and they have a leaky gut and they have problems with their guts like irritable bowel, and you treat the gut, the thyroid gets better. You know, I do.
Or perhaps
I do,
simply, you know, losing body weight, because one of the things that I say to patients is, hey, you know, you may have a, like if you have a 160 horsepower engine and you're trying to power a Ford F-150, it's not going to go very fast. But if you got, you know, a little compact car, that car could be pretty sprightly, even with a small powertrain. So lose some of that weight and maybe your thyroid won't be so overburdened trying to power such a large body.
Well, I think what we'll someday find too is that there's going to be a relationship between insulin and thyroid, just as there's a relationship between insulin and testosterone, mm-hmm. and that once again they're all interconnected in honestly ways we don't really know. So I do often say, before I start somebody and commit somebody to possibility a lifelong of thyroid medication, I do consider some of these other things first. Not everybody. There are people who are just, you know, I think it's hard to sort of tease out who's who, but there are people who most people I do start right on thyroid medication. But I think it's important to think about all of these other things when you're treating thyroid.
Now, very interesting new subject related to thyroid. I think it was an article that you sent me as a prelude to the show about the prevalence of autism in women with undetected hypothyroidism. Can you talk to that issue?
In pregnant women.
You
know, it's interesting. It's one of the first ones I've ever seen of its kind because, I mean, we know that hypothyroidism, true, you know, real hypothyroidism where their numbers are high, really elevated, first of all, can have problems just even maintaining fertility.
Right. Or having early miscarriages or, you know, the whole thing.
Right. So I think what this article spoke of is maybe a little bit more what we call subclinical or not such drastic levels that there are more incidences of autism in mothers who have this undetected or a weakened thyroid is what they call it.
And it may be due to lack of thyroid. We don't know. But it may be just that the hypothyroidism is a sign that they have unhappy immune systems, autoimmunity, and that may be associated with the autoimmune. It doesn't necessarily mean that if we just gave these women thyroid hormones that they wouldn't have autistic kids. We do know, however, that there is a medical condition in children, in infants, called cretinism. You know, that's kind of like an insult. You're a cretin. Well, actually, medically, there is a term for kids that are born with subnormal intelligence. To mothers who were not properly diagnosed for hypothyroidism, they actually are born with broad facial features and enlarged tongues and with a diminished mental capacity and just lethargy. These babies are cretins.
Yeah. Now we automatically screen mothers and kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's one of those diseases that has now been eradicated.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the other thing we didn't speak about is fertility.
Yes.
I have to say I have an acupuncturist that sends me a lot of her fertility patients. She basically specializes in women's health and women's fertility, and. I'll do some of my thyroid testing. I do some different kinds of testing, which we can talk about.
Yep.
And women who have normal TSHs, normal thyroid testing, more often than not, if they're trying, they're having problems getting pregnant, they're infertile. I give them a little bit of thyroid medication, and often do nothing else. And within a few months get pregnant. We have an unbelievable track record of doing this with women. You know, so it's definitely women who have fertility problems, definitely something to look a little bit deeper into.
So as you mentioned, you know, let's talk about thyroid testing because, I mean, one of the premises that we set forth is that it isn't all about the tests, that you have to listen to the patient and you may see a patient who seems borderline or, you know, near normal in thyroid function. You actually might undertake a trial of thyroid in that patient because the patient might be, you know, a candidate. But what are some of the tests that you use to help you better discriminate who might be likely to respond?
Yeah, so I'll do on everybody a TSH, a free T4, and a free T3 level. Those are the two hormones that we spoke about, and that's sort of the regular or a total T4 and a total T3, the regular testing that most doctors will do, and also some thyroid antibodies. What I do in my practice, there's two other tests that I do that are a little different, and I want to explain them to you because I think they're really interesting. The first is a reverse T3. A reverse T3 is actually the mirror of T3, and basically what it does in our body is it has no function except to basically to compete against T3. So it takes up spots in the body where T3 would be utilized and used. So if you have high reverse T3 levels, that's not good. You want those numbers low. You want them not to be competing with your T3. So that's a little clue. None of these
Is there a treatment for that, or do you just have to give more thyroid to overcome that?
You give more thyroid to overcome it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not like a vitamin or herb that makes that get better.
Not that I know of. Do you?
No, not that I know of either. Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't even know if it truly is a measure of what's called thyroid resistance. Because that's an other thing that maybe you can talk about. You know, just like we have insulin resistance, we have this thing called thyroid resistance. So how can that occur? What's that theory?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I think what I would liken that to is with antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just getting more and more antibodies and your body's attacking your thyroid more. Honestly, what I would consider in somebody like that, and as a holistic patient, is taking them off of their porcine thyroid and putting them on a synthetic thyroid, mm-hmm. where they may not be developing antibodies to it. It's a theory, and I've seen it work sometimes. You know, those are the people that may do better on the synthetic thyroid.
I have to say that's a theory, and some patients believe it implicitly because they've read it somewhere, that right. if you have thyroid antibodies, that you shouldn't give actual animal-derived thyroid because somehow that's going to cause your body to have an autoimmune reaction. I'm not sure that that's the case. In fact, sometimes feeding very small amounts of things you're sensitive to can actually kind of run an interference with the immune system and desensitize you. You know, sort of like allergy treatments, sublingual drops or something. But you bet there was another test that you mentioned that was useful?
Yeah, and so the other test is called a TRH stimulation.
Okay.
A thyroid releasing hormone stimulation test. This is really interesting test. So this is actually a very old test. It's written in old textbooks. I would say I'm going to make up this date. 30 years ago, it was how they tested for a lot of thyroid.
I beg your pardon. That's really a long time ago. You know, we're who you're talking to here, okay? Because you're making me feel bad.
No, you know what I'm saying. So,
okay. So 30 years ago, not that long ago. For you, maybe.
Years ago.
Okay, better.
So this test, there was a problem with the medication, and the medication that they give to perform this test is called proterolin, and the proterolin was tainted. Something had happened. I wasn't around. I don't know. And because of that, the test quickly fell out of favor. And I think it was around the same time that they also developed the TSH that is highly sensitive. This TSH that is the end all be all test that now it's a much better improved TSH. We don't really no longer need to do the TRH stimulation test. So it was forgotten about. Nobody does it anymore. And what I found is that it's actually a great test to do exactly on the people that we're talking about. People who have normal thyroid tests, have all the signs and symptoms of hypothyroidism, and so it would be really appropriate to do a TRH stimulation test. Let me just take a step back and tell you exactly how it is, how it works, how you do it. Mm-hmm. So TRH, thyroid releasing hormone, is a hormone that comes from our hypothalamus in our brain. It tells our pituitary gland to make TSH, which in turn tells our thyroid to make T3 and T4. The way the test works is that you inject a TRH analog, proterolin. First you do a baseline TSH. You inject them with proterolin.
And this is all got to be done like first thing in the morning, which is like you got to, right? Generally do in the morning.
That's first thing in the morning. I'm not convinced that it has to be done first thing in the morning, but it's probably best.
Okay.
You inject them with the proterolin, and you wait 20 minutes and redraw a TSH, and then there's normal levels. And I can't tell you how many times of that proterolin, normal, completely normal, even what I would think is normal TSH levels between 1 and 2, they have an abnormal TRH stimulation test.
Well, so for listeners, I mean, if you didn't get that basic physiology there, it's kind of like a stress test for the thyroid. And, you know, in effect, if your thyroid really just loves that stuff and just takes advantage of it and produces tremendous amounts, it means that your thyroid needs a boost. I mean, I think that's maybe a simple way of describing how that test works.
Exactly. How your thyroid functions in everyday life under stressful situations versus a TSH, which is a static test.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's a great test, and you know, I've had calls from endocrinologists saying, where are you getting the proterolin? How are you doing this? This was a great test. So hopefully, it's going to start to. Some people will start to redo this test. It's happening, but very slowly.
Okay.
Because it's an expense. The medicine's expensive. The time. It takes a half an hour. It's not that big a deal, but it's a great test.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, what happens if you discover that somebody's on too much thyroid? What do you do then?
If I've prescribed too much thyroid to
them? Or, you know, somebody comes in, perhaps they come in and, you know, they're on too much thyroid. I mean, what are the consequences?
The consequences, you don't feel good. You don't feel good. You feel you're on edge. And I just want to say something about that, too. Patients think that thyroid is the miracle weight loss drug.
Right.
The more the better. It never works that way, unfortunately. It never works that way. It's not the magic pill. However, it is the magic pill to get you to your goal. If you're, you know, it's got to be done right because there are repercussions to too much thyroid.
Right. I mean, I wish I had a buck for every patient who's either taking too much thyroid or even had Graves' disease, which is a hyperthyroid condition, who's overweight. It's not a magical panacea because there are many factors at work that keep people from losing the weight they need to lose. Many metabolic blockades, and thyroid's one, a very important one, but it's not, you know, the magic elixir. And I think, you know, actually, if you talk to a lot of women now who are in their 50s and 60s, many of, especially in the New York area, many of them will recall that mom took them to see a Park Avenue doctor when it was fashionable in the 1950s and 60s because their daughter was a little chubby or something, and they started them on thyroid hormone as a weight treatment. These are weight loss doctors, so they indiscriminately prescribe thyroid hormone, and a lot of these women may or may not have needed it, but it was in vogue, you know, way back when. And then maybe that's one of the reasons why endocrinologists are kind of suspect of doctors like us who sometimes prescribe thyroid hormone when the tests seem normal.
And once again, I do see it often that integrative doctors are prescribing too much thyroid hormone more often than not. It has to be done. It's, you know, like everything else, it's all about balance. And I can't say it enough. Balance in all of your hormones. Balance in your adrenals, balance in your insulin, balancing your thyroid hormone, balancing your sex hormones. And until you sort of get that balance right amongst all of them, you're never going to feel terrific. You're never going to feel great. And then once you do, whatever you do to lose weight, it's going to make it that much easier. I have never seen anybody take a lot of thyroid and lose weight from it. I've never seen it. I don't know about you.
Not from the thyroid per se, but sometimes, you know, people come in and we say, okay, change your diet, get rid of gluten, we'll put you on thyroid, you know, we'll give you vitamins. People are energized, they start, you know, feeling better, they hit the gym, they're inspired to eat better, and then a lot of weight comes off. Is it about the thyroid? You know, maybe partially, but, you know, it's so hard to tell when we're doing so many different things.
No, but I'm talking about somebody who's overdosed on thyroid, who has a very suppressed TSH. And they're still overweight and they're not losing any weight. It's just never the magic pill. So what would I do if somebody comes in who's on too much thyroid? I actually go very slowly. It depends on how long they've been on it too. So if I'm going to pull them down and get them down to normal levels, I lower it slowly, but I have to work with the patient and I have to, you know, they have to agree that it's going to take some time, but it's really important to get those levels at, in a normal range where you're not overdosing them, and feeling well on top of that. But it's a slow process. It's really I don't immediately take them off their thyroid or hugely decrease it.
What about iodine? Are you a big fan of iodine? You mentioned it earlier, something that's helpful for the thyroid. Is it always helpful?
You know, that's a very good question. I'm definitely not an expert in iodine. I'm of the ilk, because I learned this, I'm not sure where, to be very afraid to give somebody iodine, especially if there's a thyroid problem.
Yeah, I mean, the idea being is there is this thing called Bazidow's phenomenon where, you know, too much iodine is said to, I mean, it's actually been studied in the Japanese population where they eat a lot of seaweed. It actually seems to, you know, if you don't have enough, you have a low thyroid. If you have just right, your thyroid's okay. If you eat too much, according to some studies, it'll suppress your thyroid. Or, unpredictably, sometimes it'll put you into thyroid storm. I've actually had some, I haven't done this to patients, thank goodness, but I've heard of patients who, when taking really high doses of thyroid, their thyroid just skyrocketed. I mean, went to like, you know, 2, 3, 4 times normal.
Yeah. I mean, that goes to tell you that iodine can definitely be an issue or a problem. I tend to go very slowly also with that. But there's a lot of research being done on iodine right now, that is interesting to me. And so I'm not very comfortable with, treating it or prescribing it. If I do, I go very slowly. I do some testing, though. I do some urine testing where I'll give them a load of iodine and measure how much they excrete, how much iodine they give off. And if they give off, if they hold on to a lot of that iodine, then I'll be, meaning they need it, they're utilizing it, then I'll give them some iodine, but very slowly. And so I'm not sure, honestly, the iodine is a big question. I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing by not giving more. I think it's probably, I think a lot of people are deficient in iodine, and we have yet to really see that and figure it out.
So finally, let's talk about the different thyroid preparations and, you know, what the pros and cons of them are. There are a lot of different ways to give thyroid. Why don't you start out with, whatever you want to start out with.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the synthetic thyroid, Synthroid, levothyroxine. It's T4. I use it often in my practice. I'll use it if somebody comes in and they have a TSH that is elevated, that's true, you know, really elevated, not what I even think is elevated, and they have a lot of thyroid antibodies. I'll start them on Synthroid. It's just, you know, in all honesty, the reason I do it is because it's easier. It's easier for patients. They go to their other doctors. There's no questions. They're in the hospital. God forbid. There's no questions about taking Synthroid.
And I sometimes use it when people have had their thyroid completely removed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they need so much, and, you know, we sometimes need the blood test to help us to find an answer. Or sometimes I use it when I find the patient unreliable. Because, you know, usually you can talk to somebody, say, how you doing? You feeling better? But I have some patients who are, you know, they might have, dementia, or they might have, schizophrenia or something, or they have bipolar disorder. And I'm really, you know, it's hard for me to say, how are you doing? Because sometimes they're not real clear about how they're doing. The other time I use it is when people have an arrhythmia, like atrial fibrillation. I'm careful because there you really, really, you have to be careful because you can set them off if they go too high. And sometimes the blood test is helpful to tell you what's going on there.
Yeah. And then that's the T4 part. Some of those people now, they're coming in, they're on an okay dose, but they still don't feel quite right. And I'll measure a free T3 level, and their T3s are low. Let's say, you know, low normal. Normal, I like to see, let me just tell you what my optimal levels of a TSH is between 1 and 2.
Okay, good.
And my optimal level of a free T3 is greater than 3. And those are the two things I really look for and then obviously signs and symptoms.
Would you allow the free T3 to go a little the upper limits? You know, in a patient who says, "Hey, I really feel fine on this," and if they tell you they don't feel fine when you lower the dose, are you okay with that?
Absolutely okay with that, as long as the TSH is not super suppressed.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Um, so So then so you have somebody on Synthroid or T4. You want to add a little bit of T3. I really think this is a real phenomenon in patients. So once again, going back to what I said earlier, T4 has to get converted to T3. T3 is by far the most active form of hormone in the body. It's what works on the periphery and works on all of our cells. So sometimes we like to give a little bit of T3 to these people when they're not feeling perfect, and maybe their T3 levels are a little bit low. And so there's a couple ways to do that. Cytomel is the most commonly prescribed T3 that allopathic regular doctors are familiar with. I don't love Cytomel. So Cytomel is strictly T3. It's given twice a day. It's a very short-acting drug. And I have to say, I don't think people do all that great on Cytomel. I think you get these sort of spikes of high levels, like, and then it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be dosed twice a day. I think some people do feel better on it, but I still think that there's even a better way than that. And what I typically like to do is I like to compound a long-acting T3.
Mm-hmm. Time release,
and,
yeah.
A time-release T3, and you can give it in. I'll sometimes give people minuscule doses, 1.25 micrograms, where they can. I give them a bunch of pills, and they can actually, on their own, sort of weekly increase the dose a little bit, and see how they feel, see what their pulses are. Are you feeling better? Up to a certain amount, and then check levels again. One of my other mentors had taught me that it really works great in letting in really finding that exact dose that people feel terrific at.
And you'll sort of piggyback that onto the Synthroid or the L-thyroxine that they're already taking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
And what is the quote natural? You know, there's the pig porcine, and then there's like euthyroid, different kinds of formulations.
Westroid, Nature Throid, Armour Thyroid. There's a bunch of different brands out there. There was a couple years ago, the Armour Thyroid had changed its formulation,
right.
And
messed up a lot of patients because of that.
Yeah, and even me, I was like, oh, you know. I don't know. Patients will come in and say, I just don't feel right. And then I'll switch them to Nature Throid, sort of like, oh, this is so annoying, you know, and I'll do it. And 9 out of 10 times they feel better. You know, it's very interesting. So there are different brands that people feel differently on. And it's just a matter of trying different things with different people. I don't think there's any rule to it. I still have most of my patients on Armour.
Right, and as I do as well. And finally, you know, because we're running a little short of time, talk to us a little bit about the potential for using a little bit of thyroid for your patients who are suffering from depression, or even patients who are, you know, taking a mild antidepressant. They're not getting the bang for their buck that they want. What happens when you give them a little bit extra thyroid?
Yeah, well, it's a very well-known fact that hypothyroidism can cause depression. And I think it's a crime that psychiatrists are not checking thyroid before they prescribe antidepressants. I've seen it. I've seen patients' TSHs in the 80s and having seen many psychiatrists and on antidepressants without even ever knowing that. So, but yes, and even a small amount or a small deficiency in thyroid can make a huge difference in mood and depression. I've seen it time and time again. One of the things that is definitely worth looking into in a patient who is depressed and has normal thyroid testing, doing a trial of a little bit of thyroid. If it doesn't help, you stop it. There's really no harm done. Tiny doses, 15 milligrams of Armour or 30 milligrams of a desiccated thyroid can make a huge difference in mood.
All right. Well, thus concludes our time to discuss hypothyroidism. Any references that you recommend to patients? Any place where they can get more information about thyroid?
That's sort of a hard question because there's lots of websites about.
Yeah, I sometimes tell people to go to Mary Showman's website. It's thyroid-info.com. com, I think, on about.com, and she's written some books, but you know, a variety of books on the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, I like one of my mentors, Dr. Glenn Rothfeld, wrote a book about thyroid. I'm blanking on the name of it, but it's like, you know, your thyroid or something. Mm-hmm. Rothfeld is his name. That's a great book. There's quite a few of them out there.
And in conclusion, if our listeners want to learn more about you and your practice, you practice on, is it the Upper West Side of Manhattan, or are you downtown now?
No, I'm Upper West. I'm right across from Time Warner. 330 West 58th Street. And my website is www.drdanacohen.com.
Dr. Dana, D-A-N-A, Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, .com. Okay, as you might expect. All right, well, thank you very much, Dana, for joining us for today's edition of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. And, you know, I got to say, you know, you certainly are applying your knowledge in a very, very creative and beneficial way on behalf of your patients. You know, your patients who've seen you do extraordinarily well.
Thank you, Ron.
It's a pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you join us for our next edition of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.